said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough, or that is enough. I forget which one translation says, that's enough. It's enough to prove you're a transgressor. Because look, this is not what Jesus taught the whole way, you see. The people who supplied their own need, and they do it today, the ones that supply their own need, they may put you under the law in order to give to them and to give to their ministry. And they do that because they're afraid to stand by faith in God. And if they did, he'd let their little kingdom crumble. That's what he'd do. Because if people gave according to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of kingdoms around us that would crumble. You know that? If you give when God told you to give, where God told you to give, I tell you what, the kingdoms of men would crumble. And they know it. So you know what they do? They put you under the law. You better give to us. We're the storehouse. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Okay? Now, you know what? We don't need to supply our own needs. The power of God will be manifest in our weakness. If you're if you put yourself in a place of weakness, God will be there. He will never see that you do without. It'll never happen. They went out. God was always with them. And this is he's no different with you. You know, if you have to go in your strength, you're in trouble. And everything that you use in your own strength, you're going to lose. Because the world's going to plunder you. But if you go in God's strength, and Him is your supplier, Him is your Jehovah Jireh, you know, He's never going to fail you. That's where miracles are. You'll see miracles. You'll see miracles if you do that. Well, he said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal. Why did he say that? I'll tell you one very good reason. Because he likens this to people who serve mammon and not God. He said, you can't serve mammon and God. You're going to hold to the one and hate the other. That means hold to the mammon and hate God. You can't serve them both. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the word mammon is a word that means confidence. And it means that which is trusted in. That's what mammon means. It doesn't just mean money. It means that it's treasure. In fact, the Hebrew word for treasure is matmon, you know. And it means that which is trusted in. You know what? You can't have it not trusting it. I've heard them preach it for years, but they're lying. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't have it, you know, in the bank or wherever you've got it stored up, you know, and not trust it. It's just not possible. When you get in trouble, you're going to run to your God. And you know who your God is? That's why Jesus said that. He said, it's not possible. He said, you can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve them both. So let the eye be single. In other words, get your eye only on the Lord. If your eye is double, I mean, your whole body is going to be full of darkness, right? Well, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. What is wrong with this? You know what's wrong with it? For one thing, the scripture teaches plainly in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, when goods increase, they increase that eat them. God has designed this earth to support the life upon this earth. And when goods increase, they increase that eat them. If somebody is storing up, somebody is doing without. If somebody is storing up, they are trusting in that. Where is it? Is it Luke? Let me show you something. Luke chapter 12. Yeah, you know where I was going. Luke 12. And let me show you what this says in the original. This is rather strange, okay? Luke 12 and 13. Or 15. By the way, did you know that storing up God called covetousness? You know that the covetous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? The covetous were separated in the early church. They're not now. Doesn't make any difference now. Everybody's covetous now. But in the early church, they were separated from among God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says that. If any man be called a brother who is covetous, talking about the church was to judge. He put them right in there with the fornicators. Put them right in there with the fornicators. Makes no difference. Listen, he said, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You know, a covetous man, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 5, is an idolater. An idolater. Why is a covetous man an idolater? You know what the word covetous means? It means, it doesn't mean desiring what belongs to somebody else. It don't mean that. The Greek word doesn't mean that. It means desiring more. Not content, desiring more. And the Bible says be content with food and raiment, right? Or food and covering. Be content. Desiring more. A person who is covetous is an idolater. Idolater comes from two words, idolo, latres. And it means a servant to that which is seen. Stop and think about it. I mean, have all the luxuries of life, you know, given you any more time to spend with the Lord? You'd think so, but it seems so strange that they seem like they just rob your time more than they... I don't understand how it works. It's crazy, isn't it? You remember the old days before they had all this stuff?
Yeah.
It seems like they had more time for the Lord back then, doesn't it? You know what? You become a servant to that which is seen, an idolater. An idolater is an idolatries, a servant to the things which are seen. You know what? That's the problem with Christians nowadays. A materialistic society robs Christians. When Christians were strong is when they get out of materialism, when they're so content, when they need to lead a simple life, when they don't need all the luxuries, you know, to make them happy. If you need all that to make you happy, you're sick. Those things shouldn't make you happy. It's the Lord that should make you happy, righteousness that should make you happy. And the Lord knew this. He said, keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have not wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. In other words, he didn't have any place to bestow his grain and his goods on anybody but himself. That's the problem. You see, he wanted to bestow them for himself. Huh? I'll get prettier. I'll get bigger. I'll get better, right? And verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou foolish one, this night they require thy soul of thee. That's what it says in the original. Did you know that? I even got a footnote down here, Greek. They require thy soul. What requires thy soul? The riches require your soul. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that in other places. It says, the things which thou hast prepared, who shall they be? This night they require thy soul of thee. And the things which thou hast prepared, who shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said, if you lay up treasures upon earth, you won't have them in heaven. Okay? I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the point. They require thy soul of thee. They require thy soul of thee. Let me see if this is the verse I'm thinking is Psalm 49. Yeah, Psalm 49 and 49 and 16. Look at this. Okay, it says, be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. He said, they'll never see the light. What is he talking about? You know, I mean, though while he lived, he blessed his soul. Remember what was told to the rich man? He said, didn't you receive your good things on the earth? See, obviously things are going to be turned around in the next life. I mean, the kingdom of heaven is so totally opposite to this world, you know. things are fixing to be turned around. Up is down and down is up. In the next life, did you know that? He that humbled himself shall be exalted. I mean, everything's going to be the opposite. It's not going to be the great leaders, great Christian leaders that the world has considered the great Christian leaders. No, it's not going to be that one. It's going to be the obedient, the fruitful. If you're famous with the world, even the worldly church, you're sick. You're in trouble. That was not the way the wicked treated the prophets and Jesus, right? I mean, if you're going to be treated like Jesus and the prophets, that's the way the world should treat you, if you're walking with God. Another verse. You'll be hated. I think it's Proverbs 13:7. And it says, there is that maketh himself rich, and yet hath nothing. Talking about nothing towards the kingdom, right? There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great wealth. The ransom, listen to this now, the ransom of a man's life is his riches. But the poor heareth no threatening. What is a ransom? You know what a ransom is? Think about it, you know, like in the movies, what's a ransom?
Counter barter.
Well, isn't it a price that must be paid for someone's freedom from bondage? Right? Well, look at what the price to be paid for freedom from bondage is. The riches. It's the treasures that are stored up. It's the things that you don't need. It's just the things that you're trusting in. See? That's not the only place in the scriptures that says that. Isn't that amazing to talk about this eye of the needle over there in the Middle East? Of course, they called it the eye of the needle after Jesus preached this, right? But you can't shove a camel through there. Listen, he meant what he said. I mean, you know, that which is held in high esteem among men is an abomination in the sight of God, Scripture says. He said this to the Pharisees because they were lovers of money. And they were scoffing at what he was saying. You know, God's going to try us. God tries every one of us with money and with things and with material goods. We're going to be tried to see what we're going to do with that. You know, God made a command in the Old Testament with the manna. And Paul used it in the New Testament to show us something. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look what Paul said in the New Testament. Why is it wrong to store up? Well, because if you're storing up, you're a thief. I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13. Am I coming against your flesh? I hope so. 2 Corinthians 8, 13 says, For I say not this, that others may be eased and you distressed, but by equality. For your abundance, being a supply at this present time for their want. So that's what your store should be used for. No, he exhorted the rich in the New Testament to be ready to distribute, willing to distribute. That's their job when they come into the kingdom, is to be ready to distribute. And the reason is so that their abundance will be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Even as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over. Had nothing over. Underline that. Nothing over. He had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. See, God's got a plan for the poor of the kingdom, for people in the need in the kingdom. He's got a plan. This is his plan, equality. No, I don't, you know, everybody's never going to drive Chevrolets. I know that. I mean, but if you got your need met, that's the thing, you know. The point is, you know, God wanted equality. His plan, and they started in the book of Acts when the church started. That's immediately what they set about to do. The people had sold, and they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles distributed it. They wanted equality. You know what? Before it's over in this country, the spirit of this is going to come back into the church, and there's going to be equality. But I'll tell you what's going to happen first. Is God's going to take everything away. He's going to take everything away. Because Christians are in idolatry. in this country. And they're serving the things that they can see.
And
all those things are going to pass away. The judgment that God sent against this country, He's going to take it all away. And all that store and all those pretty things, you know. Like Verna's dream about all the valuables being held over a deep pit. God showed her it's all going to be taken away. Because God's going to deliver His people from idolatry. You know what? This is not going to bother people who don't have a lust for things. This don't bother them. They could care less. As long as they could see the power of God in the work of God, they could care less about things. Well, God wanted equality, and He wanted your excess to meet somebody's need so that their excess would meet your need. Now think about it. We've got these hard times coming, folks. Most of you believe that. If your excess now will meet somebody's need, then their excess will meet your need. That's what it says there. Yeah. The people that are going to have the hardest time is the people who are idolaters, serving things. I mean, if it's not yours, then God's got to tell you what to do with it, right? And if you're a disciple, it's not yours. But let me tell you, every time He's ever told me to do something great, and He was there with grace in me to do it, you know, He's always done something greater for me. He has never failed. He never will fail you. If He tells you to do something, don't worry about it. Don't fear. It's His. He can do with it what He likes. If He tells you to do something with it, do it, because He's going to bless you. He said, give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. When you need, listen, the way to get your needs met is not storing up. It's not borrowing. It's giving. God made me prove that. There's been times when God didn't supply my need until the last minute. And He made me, and when I looked at what I had and looked at my bills on the other side, there was no way. And what God told me to do, give it. Get rid of it. Get it out of your hand. As soon as I did that, He met the whole need. And He did this to me time after time after time after time. He's done this to me. Because the way to receive is to give. This is God's method. And I'm not preaching that so that you give to me, because I don't care if you give to me. That's not my problem. That is not my problem. I don't have to worry about that. I found God is never going to fail me. Never. So I don't have to worry about that.
But David, it's kind of hard though for most people, because, you know, they work and you have to put money in the bank and have to pay your bills. I mean, it's just almost totally impossible to stay in time to survive if you didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, listen, I'm not, somebody says, well, store not up your treasure. Where's the line? I'm not trying to draw one.
Mm-hmm.
That's between you and God. I mean, if He didn't say there, I'm not going to say. But get along with God and your conscience and find out what He means to you when He's talking about that. I'm not going to put anybody under the law. He didn't tell me what He said there. He just told me to say what He said.
Right.
See?
But what I'm saying, honey, is that you know what I'm saying, right?
I understand. I mean,
if you just spent everything or gave everything away, you couldn't pay your bills.
Oh, that's that. Believe me, that's happened to me many times. I mean, that's happened to me many times, just what you said. I had to give everything away before my bills got paid. He never failed me. I never got late. But I had to get rid of it for Him to do it. And what I had wasn't enough covered anyway, so might as well.
And the other thing,
it's a place of being weak. See, when you're weak, He's going to be strong. That's an act of faith. It's an act of faith to give when you need. But you know, the woman with the two mites. See, God doesn't measure your giving by how much you put in. It's what you got left after you put in. The woman with the two mites, she gave more than all those rich Pharisees. They put in and put in and put in. He didn't mention them. They were putting in under the law anyway. She wasn't putting in under the law. That was all she had. She was totally under grace and totally in faith in God. And she figured out, this won't meet my need. It might as well meet somebody's. And she just gave it. And I'll tell you what, that woman didn't go away without being blessed. I've experienced it. I know. It's true.
But then that's an experience, though. Again, in a sense, what the Bible is saying is socialism. I mean, it does away with the desire for anybody for free enterprise.
God,
well,
God socialism.
See, yeah, there's a difference between socialism or communism and scriptural socialism,
right,
or communism.
I understand the difference.
Because one of them is from the heart, worked by God, and one of them is by law.
Okay.
And there have been groups that have this legalistic way of communism. They had communism in the early church. They had it. But it was not the kind of communism we're used to in the world. That is forced, and it's forced upon men who have wicked hearts.
Okay, because of the law.
Right, because of law. And as you know, the law cannot make perfect. It cannot. It does not have the power to bring things to pass. But grace does. When they gave in the early church to meet one another's needs, it was down the road, God saw that it was going to come back. Anything goes out, comes back, right? There'll be a time when your needs will need to be met, and it will be met because you met others' needs. Did you read that way? That's what it says. And, you know, I'm not trying to draw a line there about how much, you know, you figure that out. You know, if he says store not up, it's something that you're trusting. I know a lot of people, they just, the only reason they've got a bank account is so they can write checks to pay their bills.
Okay.
It's awful handy to pay your bill.
Okay.
Well, sure, I've got one too. But I don't store up.
And
I just don't. In fact, a lot of times, I've got to run put money in the bank so that I can pay my bills. It's from hand to mouth, you know, hand to mouth.
But also then with food,
these days,
everybody stores. I mean, you don't shop every day.
Yeah.
We don't go grocery shopping every day. That would be a little bit absurd. And I don't do it to store up because if somebody needed it, they could have it. It's just the fact it's convenient not to have to run to the grocery store every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because
I don't consider that storing, but that guy.
I think it's like, you know, the compounding of all these IRAs and things that, like,
I always feel like if I'm doing something wrong, God will speak to me.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Bible teaches modesty, but some churches have decided they're going to tell you what modesty is. That's where they go wrong, because they've got no right to do that. The Bible doesn't tell them they can do that. They're going beyond what's written. See, God left some things between you and your conscience and Him. And that's the way this is. I'm just going
to
leave that right there, because, you know, wait, let God deal with you when you read that. Because I don't think we should make any laws or regulations. That's like modesty. You know, they say, this is modest. Your hair's got to be here. Your dress has got to be here. That's a bunch of law. That's all that is. No, God wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you. And if you humble yourself to that scripture, He'll show you what it means for you, you know. That's the way we ought to leave it and not go beyond the things which are written, the scripture says, you know. Listen, this world is set up for the rich to plunder the poor. The whole system is that way. God did not ordain this system we've got in this country. It's totally wrong. Look at the James 5, from verse 1 on down. We just read verse 6, but let's go back. It says, because this has always been true. You know, the people that are behind the wars in the world have been the rich. The governments, raising up the government, it's always been the rich. The rich are ruling this world, and the devil, of course, is using them to do it. He's the god of this world. They worship him, and they serve him, and they're in the physical realm ruling this world, although they don't know God's over everything. It says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. That are coming upon you. And they are coming for this country. This is a pertinent word for this day. James chapter 5 and verse 1. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. And he's talking about your spiritual riches are corrupted and your spiritual garments are moth-eaten. And your gold and your silver are rusted, and their rust shall be a testimony against you and shall eat your flesh as fire. You've laid up your treasure in the last days, and behold, the hire of the laborer who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out. And the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts, or Sabaoth. You've lived delicately on the earth. Reminds you of the rich man and Lazarus, right? You've lived delicately on the earth and taken your pleasure. You've nourished your heart in a day of slaughter. And you've condemned and have killed the righteous. He doth not resist you. And that's, you know, that was true in Jesus' day, and it's true in this day. We should seek God for contentment. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We didn't bring anything into the world, we can't take anything out of it. Man should be content with food and covering. The simple things of life, a simple life. You look back, and I'm sure you've read some of the stories I have of some of the great men of God, you know. How they were just so content with so little, and so happy with so little. They didn't need these things to be happy. And they led a simple life. And you know, how much more time have you got for God if you lead a simple life? And don't lust after the world and run after the things of the world. And be obedient. I mean, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And be obedient as far as seeking equality among the brethren. God wants equality. God wants to bless His people, and He's going to bless them with equality. And by the way, God promises righteousness for the person who seeks this. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, He says that. He said, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, here's a tremendous promise. Tremendous promise. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know if all of you agree with me on this or not, but God didn't ordain for His church to stop at tithing. Tithing was when 90% belonged to you and 10% belonged to God. But there's no such thing in the New Testament. We are totally stewards in the New Testament. Tithing, God came along with something much greater than tithing. And here it is, right here. You can't find, listen, I'm telling you, look, you will not find tithing taught in the New Testament. You say, oh yeah, Matthew 23. No, it doesn't say that. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said, you tithe anise and cumin and mint and dill. And He said, you left undone the weightier matters of the law. Did you hear what He said? Jesus said, tithing was of the law. Did you hear that? Jesus said, He never preached it. Find one verse. You can't find it. And it talks about tithing they did in the Old Testament. That's true. But this is what superseded tithing. Listen, this is what makes you a... This is what makes you a steward. When it all belongs to God. Not 90-10. When it all belongs to God, it makes you a steward. How come you don't find 10% in this? Read it carefully. Listen, if you're under the law, you're doing business with God according to the old covenant. Don't try it, because if you do, He'll do business with you. I learned when I first came into the kingdom and started tithing. I learned God blessed me when I tithed, because I hadn't been given anything. But it wasn't long till He showed me that He had something better. Everything in the New Testament is better. Great blessings, you know. Much better than the law. He says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Got that? Now there's no 10% there, folks. He just says the more you give, the more you'll get to give. And He does say to give, because if you read on, you'll see. He said, let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart. Now that's not the law, is it? There's no law there. Boy, I tell you, they'll rebuke you if you say that nowadays, if they didn't know it was in the Bible. According as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. It's not of necessity. That's right. You saw it. And that delivers you from the law right there. Not of necessity. You got that? For God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, He wants it from the heart. He doesn't want you under the law. He's not interested in that kind of a sacrifice. The sacrifice He wants is a cheerful giver, right? And God is able to, watch His promise for this. Now, this promise is not for tithers. I've had tithers say, well, I'd give my tithes. Why didn't this promise come true to me? Because this promise is not for tithing. Listen to me. It is not for tithing. Because if you're under the law, you can only reap a harvest that's under the law. And by the way, God never made the law with the Gentiles. Did you hear that? He never made tithing with you. He never made it with you. He made it with the Jews. He did not make it with you. Not one place does He ever make that covenant with you. You don't have to figure out what part of the old covenant you're under. You're not under any of it. It's all types and shadows to be fulfilled in your life. But you're not under any of it. He didn't make that covenant with you.
What about other parts of the law, such as the commandments?
You know what? There's a moral law over there that's always true. Isn't it? It's true for you. It's true for anybody. I'm talking about now the ceremonial laws, you know, like animal sacrifice, like tithing, everything has been, or like circumcision. All these things have been superseded by something greater. Circumcision, Paul told us in Colossians chapter 2, what did he say it was? Baptism. See, so we're still being circumcised, right? Except it's not the cutting away of the flesh of the foreskin, it's the cutting off of the whole old man. You know, baptism, that's what it means. So everything, when you bring it from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's magnified. The tithe has been magnified. It's not 10% anymore, it's 100%. And you know, the Sabbath is not a day anymore, it's every day. See, everything has been changed. Listen, the Sabbath is being fulfilled in the New Testament by those who cease from their works and enter into the rest through faith. It's being fulfilled. See, he didn't say you had to obey the law, he said you will fulfill it. There's a difference. Now, a person that does this will fulfill the tithe. Look what I'm saying. If you sow bountifully, won't you fulfill the tithe? Absolutely. But you're not doing it because of law. It's a different relationship with God, totally, you see. Look what he says. Now look at this promise. This fantastic promise. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you. You mean just forgiven bountifully? That's what he said. All grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything, that's a promise. I tell you, that there are a few promises like that in the Bible that's so inclusive. And he's given it for people who are bountiful givers. Look, God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work. Boy, that's a promise, man. Even as it is written, he hath scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth forever. See, God imputes righteousness to a person. It doesn't give under the law, but gives under grace and gives bountifully. And you can't outgive God. You've heard that saying. I know they use it to make themselves rich when they say it a lot of times, but listen, you can't outgive God. But you're not supposed to keep what he gives back to you. It's still, he still wants equality. The materialistic preachers, prosperity preachers, they think this is a means to getting rich. But you're not being content with food and raiment if you're doing that. And listen what he says. Listen, watch what he says. He says, and he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing. So it's not supposed to stick in your hand. That's the problem. And you see the preachers riding around in their Cadillacs in their $300,000 home. What happened? Is there equality in their church? No. It's not equality. And it's stuck in their hand. He said he multiplies your seed for sowing. It's supposed to keep on. You're just supposed to flow more and more and more. It's supposed to keep flowing through you. Meet needs around you. And you know what you're doing when you do that? Storing up treasures in heaven. And you know what? You store them up on the earth, they'll get stolen. You store them up in heaven, you can reach up there and get them anytime you want them. Do not corrupt. They cannot be stolen. You can reach up there and get them anytime you want them.
It's just like when God supplied manna, he told them to only take one day. If they took more, it rotted.
That's right.
It
corrupted, didn't it? They were storing up, and it corrupted. That wasn't what he wanted. He took those omers, and he leveled off an omer. And anything that fell out went into somebody else's omer. You know, just, everybody had their needs met. Nobody had excess, you know. If anybody had a heap in Omer, he had somebody else's. He had what belonged to somebody else.
So in verse 10, where you're talking about, when we're reading, and multiply your seed sown, that again is a regeneration of a gift from God.
Yeah. Mine says your seed for sowing. In other words, he multiplies what you give. He multiplies it back to you so that you can give it again. The problem with most people is when it comes back, they give only 10%. You can get fat, filthy rich on this 10% business, you know that? I mean, in the world, in a worldly way, you can do that. But if you let it stick in your hands, you're robbing God. because that's not his plan, you see.
But David, don't you think he needs to speak to us to tell us when to give it? I mean, not to, he doesn't want just us to throw it to the wind, just to be giving it.
Oh, no, he wants us to be good stewards, sure. And he doesn't want us to pour sand down a rat hole. Because mm-hmm. that's what you're doing in a lot of ministries, is pouring sand down a rat hole. Yeah. Well, I'm not denying the fact that that the tithe, there has to be a fulfillment, and the tithe was given for the Levitical ministry. You see, I'm not denying that. The problem is, there's a lot of people that went and weren't sent. There's a lot of people out there that are receiving this, and they've got no business doing it. And they're not doing with it what God told them to do in the Bible. And, you know, the thing is, when Jesus gathered together in front of him, Matthew 26, the sheep and the goats, and he separated them by what they did with what they had. You know, did you feed my brethren? The least of these, my brethren. Did you clothe them? My brethren. You know, did you visit them in prison? Did you, you know, the storehouse in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the storehouse, by the way, was in the midst of the temple. And the people of God are the temple. Jesus didn't say one time, did you pay your tithes? He said, did you meet my brethren's needs? That's how he judged them, a sheep and a goat. Did you meet my brethren and me? That reason is, there has to be a fulfillment of what happens in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, guess where the treasury is? It's still in the temple. Who is the temple? That's right. It's not a building. They say, bring your tithes into the storehouse. That's us. Convenient.
I look at a lot of people in the church that are starving to death and can't pay their bills, and they're still building bigger churches, bigger.
Right. And some of them are half empty, too. And look what they've bought. They've bought a big mausoleum, and it's right. Half empty, you know. And he said he'll increase your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, and you being enriched in everything unto all liberality which worketh through us thanksgiving unto God. Boy, there's some tremendous promises in here for giving according to the New Testament. If you've got a need, if you're in trouble, you need your needs met. Let me tell you what to do. Don't ever stop giving. Give more than you've ever given. And like I said, I'm not preaching to give to me, because right now my needs are met. Don't worry about me.
Are you getting extra?
Yeah, maybe so. Might have
to let
see, the point is, in the New Testament, remember what Jesus showed us. Remember what he showed us. The temple that the storehouse is in the midst of the temple. That's the people of God. God wants you to meet, number one, people of God. Number two, he wants you to use it to gain to yourselves, what's he call them? Luke 16? Luke 16. Friends, by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that they may receive you into eternal tabernacles. He's talking about use your money for souls. Bring them to the Lord. Yeah. Because they'll have an eternal tabernacle if you use your money to bring them into the kingdom, won't they?
But anymore, David, it's hard to know, but you're talking about give to places that are trying to win souls. Is that what you're saying?
Somewhat. I'm saying that God wants you to use what you have as a steward, and so that in the hereafter, those people that you've used your money for will be able to receive you into eternal tabernacles. That's what the scripture said. God wants, God's purpose here on the earth is for us to, be a blessing and to bring people into the kingdom and, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is first the kingdom is to bring it in others, you know, and his righteousness. And he said all these other things will be added to you. Don't worry about them. That's what the Gentiles seek after. You don't have to seek after these things. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. You don't have to seek after these things. He literally means that. Look, there's going to come a time when you may not be able to work and make your own living. But I'll tell you what, God is your Jehovah Jireh. It don't matter that you can't work. Don't worry about it. Just seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. You know what? God is going to make sure that your needs are met. He'll prove it to you. He's going to prove it to you. The birds don't sow. Look at the point he's making. You go back there and read that and think about it, meditate on it. Suppose you can't. Suppose you're put into such a, suppose this country falls all apart and money isn't worth anything and you don't have a job. Does that mean God can't supply your needs? No, just the opposite. You start giving right there, you'll find out God will bless you right there. You know? He has bound himself by his word to be your Jehovah Jireh. He will meet your needs. Look at the birds. They don't store up in barns. Your father feeds them. Look at the flowers. They're clothed. They don't labor to be clothed. You know? The father clothes them, you know. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his right. Listen, this is it. If you got a need, don't ever stop seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because he said it's going to be met. See, the problem is when people get a need, they start seeking the need instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They get turned around. You see, that's the worldly way. You know? If you got a need, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It will be added unto you. You know, when I agreed the Lord was going to give me a house in Florida, you know, one of the first questions that came to us was, well, how's God going to do this, you know? And Mary asked me, she says, well, what do you think we ought to do? Start saving our money, you know? And, well, should we sell our house, you know? And, you know, God told me the opposite for everything there. Don't save anything. Just keep giving, keep giving, keep giving. And that's what we did. We never saved a nickel. We just kept giving, kept giving. And I was making plenty of money. Just kept giving, kept giving, kept giving. And we didn't sell our house either. He made us give it away. It was just give, you know? You know what? Listen, God's word is true. He doesn't tell you to gain any other way. He don't tell you to store up to meet your need. He tells you don't store up. He wants to show you he can do a miracle. He wants to prove to you because in your weakness, he's made strong. You want to see a miracle? You got to be weak to see a miracle. You've got to be in a position of weakness. Jesus' words are designed to make you weak. If he said don't store up, you can't trust in your retirement for that. You can't trust in, what if I have a problem? What if I get sick? What if I, you know, what if all, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Obey his command. Do not worry about tomorrow. The devil will give you trouble by worrying about tomorrow because it'll be a self-fulfilled prophecy. You know that? If you don't have it, listen, if you don't have it, God will see to it that you get it. If you've got it, you've got your own need supplied. Why does he have to do a miracle? Why do you know, you don't get to see miracles that way. Besides, you're rebelling against God. He said, if you're not faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Do you see that? Listen, what we have is another's. Did you hear what he said? He said, that's Luke,
but David, would you give something away if you got to pay to?
16 and 12. If I saw a need, I would. You know why? Because the Bible says, you see, we've already got some principles in there. And God wants us to obey them. He said, give to him that asketh of thee. And he means it.
If you see your brother in need.
And he's talking about wicked people there too, by the way. And if you see your brother in need. You see, what happens nowadays is Christians will pass up their brother in need. Or people will ask them and they'll say, no, I can't do that. I got to bring my tithe into the storehouse. See what they're doing? Is they're rebelling against the principles of Jesus in order to obey the law that they were never under. When Jesus said, if you see your brother in need, or if somebody asks, give, you know, lend, he said, release and you'll be released, so on and so forth. See what people are doing is their preachers are putting them under the law so that they rebel against every principle Jesus ever spoke. You don't need a word from God. If you see your brother in need, he's already given you one.
Right, but if the person is doing okay financially and you know they make it, they get by, he wouldn't do that.
Well, he that giveth to the rich shall come only to want. That's what the Bible says. He that giveth to the rich shall come only to want. He that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. He shall repay him again. Yeah? So, I mean, no. You're not supposed to meet people's needs. Listen, why give it to a preacher that's got a $200,000 or $300,000 home and a Cadillac? Does he need it? No, obviously not. Something's wrong, you know. I mean,
I wasn't thinking so much of that. I was just thinking about anybody. But I mean, as long as they're, you know, they're getting by and they're making a good income, you would give them it.
No. And number one,
I guess I'm asking because of my rent.
Number one in God's priority is his children,
yes.
Not the world.
Right.
Number one has got to be his children. I've seen people skip over his children and go straight to the world. because they wanted to. You know, or maybe because it was kinfolk or something like that. No, you can't do that. That's not scriptural. Number one is God's will. Matthew 26, you know. Least of these, my brethren, you know.
That's if, you want to give, if you give it to family, does God count that? If they're in need?
Well, that could fall under the category of what he said, using your, you know, being a wise steward in gaining those people and bringing them into the kingdom, you know, so that they have an eternal tabernacle. It could fall under that category because sometimes the Lord wants you to do that. Meet the need of some poor lost person because God's going to use it as a testimony to them. He's going to use it to bring them to the Lord, you know. God can guide you to do all kinds of things. The thing is, you know what? In the Old Testament, they needed a law because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit because He is a law unto Himself. We follow the law of the Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us. God didn't tell us 10%. He didn't tell us how much here, how much there, you know? But He gave us the Holy Spirit.
Churches actually put us into bondage, and at the same time, those that really have need go without.
That's right. That's right. People in the church that are in real need can't get their needs met. I've heard so many testimonies, you have to, of people who tried to get their needs met in the church and couldn't do it. And yet the hierarchy in the church were living pretty good, you know.
The thing is that not only within the churches and whatnot, you look, and of course it's becoming a more profound problem now with the homeless, you know, and that those needs are definitely not being met, and the federal government now is working antagonistically to pull away from that.
Yeah.
And the churches still will receive the 10% when a man could be saying, enough is enough. I've been given to this daggone building fund,
exactly.
And these people that are human, you know, flesh and blood,
right,
are freezing and starving. And
but you know what also blesses is that you have so many people now that prey on churches, and they really, you know what I'm saying? And then they just keep, instead of trying to get out and do anything, it's easier just to, I know I work there, volunteer at church, and you'd be amazed that people drove in there with a set of cars that I had wanting handouts.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too.
So where do you know where to draw the line of people just being legion because they think the church is going to give me something?
Mm-hmm.
See, yep. That's a problem.
Isn't there a scripture that says turn no man?
Yep, it sure said it, Luke chapter 6. You know, I've shared this with you before, but in when I was an elder over in Louisiana, we had this couple that came in there, and that's the way they were. They were strictly
leeches.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. They were leeches, and we'd give to them, and they'd be eating steak, you know. We hardly ever ate steak, you know. And the Lord showed me something. He gave me wisdom there, because we had just taught these people that give to him that asketh thee. And in the text in Luke chapter 6, he's talking about the wicked. When they ask you to give to them, I understand there's cases whereby you don't want to be a partaker in other men's sins. You don't want, if a man's an alcoholic, you don't give him a buck to go buy another one, you know. But you can use wisdom. You can meet his need with wisdom. You don't have to meet it with money. That's true. But after we taught these people this couple came. And God showed me, He sent them there. He sent them there to try everybody in that church to see if they were going to obey the word that they'd heard. Were they going to submit? And were they going to give? And were they going to lend? And were they going to do what the Bible said to do? And you know what? I think that a lot of people did overcome there. They actually entered into more of God there because they did obey that. But you know what? There came a time when the Lord told the elders what to do with these people. After they had tried them, I mean, God spoke to me, this is plain, and He said, when I asked Him what to do about them because they were tormenting the church, He spoke to me and He said, kick the baby bird out of the nest. That's what He told me. In other words, they were just leeches. You know, they were just soaking everybody dry. You know, I need this. They had no responsibility. The guy at the time would lose his job because he wouldn't get up in the morning to go to work, you know, and things, you know. And the Lord just tried people. Are you going to obey? See, if you will obey God's word, listen, God will take care of things. It may not look reasonable to you, but you know what? You come against your flesh when you do things just because the Bible says it, because your flesh is saying, no, 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 you know. And you're saying, yes, I'm going to do it just because the Bible says it. And it may look unreasonable to you, but when you do it, you're crucifying your flesh to obey it. Look, there was a time when God wouldn't permit them to be tried anymore. You know, the Bible says he won't allow you to be tried beyond what you're. And there came a time when people had been tried, and God was ready to move them on. And we, listen, I'll tell you what happened to this one particular woman. I mean, God, this is something I hardly ever do. I mean, I wouldn't even think about doing this unless God told me to do it. But he told me to call this woman up in front of the church and cast out a spirit of graft. Because she was using her position to gain from the people of God. And boy, when I did that, I tell you, it was an eye-opener. Because that woman hit the ground when I commanded that spirit to come out. She hit the ground, and she was wiggling around down there like a snake, just like that. You could, that fat woman could have, no way she could have done that. No way. Physical, she could have done that. Just like that, you know. And the spirit came out of her. And she lasted about a week until she went back to doing her same old tricks again, you see. And because, you know, God sometimes will cast a spirit out because the people need it. But if that person's not repented, it ain't going to be gone for long, you know. And but you know what? When it came back, that's when the Lord said, kick the baby bird out of the nest. When you kick, when the mama kicks the baby bird out of the nest, they either fly or hit the ground, you know. And that was this case. But it didn't last long. I mean, there was a preacher in New Orleans, a Philadelphia church in New Orleans. He called me. He said, do you know these people? I said, yeah. He said, well, we're having a little problem with them. I said, yeah, I can guess what it is. You know, you know, and so he asked my advice. I told him what happened to us, and he said, well, it sounds like good advice. We're going to do that too, you know. I said, fine. But you know what? The Lord's, I know God sent them there to see if they were going to obey that. Sometimes you don't want to do that. You don't want to obey the scriptures. You think, there's somebody more deserving of this, you know. But it says, give to everyone who asketh of thee. And in the text, when you read the text, Luke chapter 6, get a chance to go read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. He's talking about the wicked. He's talking about sharing with the wicked. Listen, let me finish what it says here in Matthew 6, in verse 20. He said, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The emphasis here is, it can't be corrupted. When you lay it up in heaven, you can use it. It'll be there for you. You know that we reap what we sow?
Absolutely.
Don't be deceived. The Bible says, don't be deceived. What a man sows. In other words, you have to sow it to reap it. Some people don't understand why they're not reaping. Did you sow it? The Bible says, give, and it'll be given unto you. There are principles in the Word of God, you see. It doesn't, again, I say, it doesn't matter the amount. I've never given as much as God's given to me. You know? It doesn't matter the amount. It matters what you got left. Like the widow. It mattered what she had left. She was a giver. And God met her needs, you know? And God will meet your needs. But you're storing it up in heaven where it cannot corrupt. And where the interest is great. I mean, when we gave a house, God gave us a much better house. When we gave a car, God gave us a much better car. The interest is great. It's not, it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's not to make you rich. Again, it's supplying seed to the sower. He that supplies seed to the sower. And so, God just wants it to keep on going. God will do miraculously. If you give abundantly according to what you have, he'll give abundantly according to what he has. You know? But listen to what it says. You store up your treasures in heaven. How do you store up your treasures in heaven? Well, Luke chapter 12. You know what we read over there in Luke 12? This is what it says. Luke 12, 33. He said, and like I'm saying, there's going to come a time when you need some treasures stored up. Right?
Yes.
Luke 12 and 33. Go back to verse 30. It says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. But your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, it's not like you've got to talk God into it. He wants to do miraculously. But many people will not put themselves in a position to where God can do this. It's my power is made perfect in weakness, okay?
It's faith.
Yes, it's faith. And you know what? If you've got faith, you don't need to store up. He says, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, it's probably a good pleasure to give the king. Sell that which you have and give alms. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not." That faileth not. That wax not old. That's part of the answer to your question, Don. That wax not old. In other words, it's not something you stored up and you're keeping it for a long time, you see. That wax not old. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroyeth. For where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also.
Well, what you're saying, it's okay to store a little bit as long as you're not storing for long term.
Right. Yeah, the Lord is the one. He's your guide. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Luke 18.
Unless the Lord comes to you and says, "Joseph, I want you to prepare for 7 years of famine."
Well, I've been doing that, believe it or not. But I really believe what Joseph was storing up there, the grain that he was storing up, Christians are storing up right now, too. But it's not talking about physical grain. It's talking about the grain of the Word of God. You know, people are storing it up. Now, you know, some people say, well, first of all, if Jesus said it, he's never going to change. He's never going to change his mind. If he said it, it's always going to be that way. What God is going to do in the future is going to be miraculous. I mean, I found out when God sent me over here that when I didn't have, that didn't have anything to do with God's supply. Nothing. I saw God multiply food. I saw him put food in our stomach when we didn't have any food. And I know that God will never let you do without when you have a need. It has nothing to do with your supply. It has to do with what you've been doing. Have you been storing it up in heaven?